Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in here today. My name is Henrik, this is Red Ice TV, and we have a loaded show for you today. Our guest is Adam Green from No More News. We're going to... It's a big, wide, you know, scope in topics that we're going to talk about today with Adam. But just to give you guys a little bit of a preface here first, I guess, we wanted to go into the kind of the dark side of Trump, the Trump presidency, his handlers, basically those pulling the strings from behind in the administration. And of course, as you guys know, more and more neocons have nestled their way into the White House as well. I think, to be honest, I think it started out much better than it is today. Maybe even the intentions were good. But we're going to tie this into the Israel lobby and actually talk a bit about the future of the Middle East as well. People like Kushner, his kind of weird little antichrist symbolic, flavor that's kind of surrounding him. We're going to talk about Jewish influence in politics, in media, banking, basically all the establishments, and tie this in with actually the construction of the Third Temple. Very interesting story, which I've of course been watching for many years, being interested in. The conspiracy behind Freemasonry and things like this. But anyway, before we get too deep into that, Adam, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Thank you, Heinrich. It's an honor to be here. Thanks for having me.
You bet, you bet. Thank you. And so, of course, we're going to start talking a little bit about Alex Jones today. You did actually, there's a number of things we can go through here. And let me just say first then, we actually did a short excerpt, Adam, from the interview that you did with Matthew North about the transsexual pornography that was found on Alex Jones' phone. And we covered that in our exclusive member show that we do on the weekends for kind of a news roundup. And we did get some angry people. I think we have some people that kind of appreciate Jones that listen. We get some people that definitely hate him, and it's kind of split, I think, in that sense. But, you know, I've been supportive of Jones after the censorship, not because of what he says or what he doesn't say. And I just, you know, I was kind of, I wanted to cover it from that perspective that it's like, this is a slippery slope and it is dangerous. If they do take him down, who's next and all that kind of stuff. So I've been supportive of him from that angle. But obviously there's many things that he's left out over the years. You have kind of become really... one of the main critical voices. I mean, there's many out there, but you've been really effectful. You do a lot of videos. I've been coming through a lot of them in the last just 3-4 days. And I found your channel because I wanted some answers over this thing with the transsexual porn found on his phone. And I don't want people out there to think that this is like we're covering this just because it's sensational and shocking. There's a deeper and more important reason for why this might be so significant. And that is, of course, Adam, that he might actually be compromised. It might actually be a reason that someone has a hold on Alex. And this is the reason why he, for years, have going from initially knowing about the issue of the Israel lobby and Jewish influence in a lot of these fields that we mentioned, to kind of really deflect and go in the complete opposite direction and coming up with all these other excuses, really, if you will. Like, it's the Saudis that own things, it's the Chinese that are owning Apple and buying up Hollywood and all this kind of stuff. And so that criticism is a very important and valid criticism that we need to discuss and talk about. So first of all, then, let's get into this a little bit, Adam, with the transsexual porn that was found on his phone. I mean, that was kind of shocking to me. How did you view this when this came out? And we'll show some of the footage of this here while we talk too.
You know, I thought it was like karma. It was right after he was banned. Things weren't going so well for InfoWars. And then what happened was he had the document cam on his desk. He was showing his phone, his new app off for his new InfoWars app. And then he pressed a button when he put his phone down. It backed out and it showed all the browsers he had open. And one was clearly transsexual pornography. There it is. You could see the thumbnail at the top with the header and the thumbnail. People looked it up and matched it. It's like T-Babe Minx. And all the media was cover it. And Jones pretended like he didn't follow it. He didn't know what it was. And then when a caller called in and made up and asked him about it, and his excuse was just awful. He gave like 5 different excuses. He contradicted himself. The funniest part was he said, there's 2 types of people in this world, people that watch porn and people that lie about it. But I wasn't watching porn on my phone, and I would never bring my porn phone on air. That's a paraphrase, the last part. But it was a very unbelievable explanation. And the reason this is significant, you know, I'm getting some Alex Jones fanboys and people that are saying, like, who cares what he's into? Or, sure, you know, it's just a pop-up. But it's very important because we were already predicting before this that Alex Jones could be blackmailed by some form of, like, sexual deviance, compromised. because this is a common knowledge. You know, I learned this from Alex Jones back in the day when I used to be a huge follower before I realized that he was lying all along about being a Zionist propagandist, and decided to start exposing this. But yeah, we were predicting that he was compromised. His wife even talked about Roger Stone showing up. And Roger Stone has all these connections to like blackmail rings, beginning with Roy Cohn, his mentor and the guy that connected him with Trump. And then he's also did some work for the NXIVM sex cult in Hollywood connected to the Bronfman family. And he got fired from the Dole campaign for some scandal with swingers, like an ad for swingers. And he's a well-known swinger. Also, surprisingly enough, I brought this up in the Owen Schroyer debate that InfoWars had an article about Roger Stone being connected to Israeli escort rings in New York. So
that's right. Even I forgot to mention that. Sorry, Adam, but yeah, exactly. You did a debate with Owen. He came on, which is, you know, cred to him for that, obviously. It was good that he did that. It was close that he bailed out. I watched the whole thing. But unfortunately, it wasn't like a constructive debate, really. It was, you know, as you were building your case, as you were laying out one point after another, he kind of shot every one of them down and laughed at them or mocked at them or, well, that's just random or this is just over here. And it's like, you have
called to present it a conspiracy. It's funny when InfoWars is calling you the conspiracy theorist.
That's true. That is true. Mm-hmm. And you know, and I thought also, that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to bring up, I wanted you to make your case today and talk about all these things that they refuse to talk about and why you think it's so important. And all of this is why it's so interesting is, of course, that it might be tied into the Trump presidency, the ascendancy of him, that InfoWars basically was used either knowingly or unknowingly and directed to a certain extent. And the popularity also of InfoWars was used to kind of thrust him into not the mainstream, but the kind of the grassroots movement out there. Those who are sick and tired of the mainstream media, those who know that they lie and all that kind of stuff. So the reason why this might be important is that, you know, we might be talking about some kind of controlled opposition. They give you a lot of truth. I think there's still a lot of things that they talk about, which is like I agree with to a certain extent, and they are right on certain things. But it's those bigger like issues behind the scenes, so to speak, that they don't really address, and they're not being good at doing that. And it's become more and more suspicious over the years, Adam, because Jones knew some of these things in the beginning, and we can actually to back this up, there is a clip that you sent me, a little compilation. Thank you for that, by the way, that we can just run to kind of give people a sample of like what he used to know and kind of how he's shooting down these theories. So let's take a look at that first, Adam, okay?
Globalists have got the power.
What?
The globalists have got the power.
They do. You know who the global, I mean, you know, yeah. And it's going to be, the next several years are going to be very interesting. And it's just like, you know, you're hitting around at is that the political Zionists absolutely, totally control the presidency and Washington. And it's even difficult to talk about on this show.
Because we do now, but, you know. Yeah. Because it doesn't even do any good. I mean, it's just, you know. Here we go.
Okay.
And that's not saying Islamic terror isn't real. It's not saying Bush even did it. Some super dark state group, which Congress now has the 28 pages vindicating 9/11 truthers, that Saudi Arabia, with people that they had gotten to convert to Islam and paid off with their trillions, and they got trillions, had joined them in some larger plan to blame Iraq and other countries that were non-radical so Saudi Arabia could take them over.
Who put together 9/11?
Saudi Arabia. The Muslims hate Muslims more than anybody. So they want to invade these other countries.
How did it happen in the U.S.? I mean, the U.S. wasn't involved, of course, right?
What are you saying?
Who was involved? Who were the key players in 9/11?
It's totally compartmentalized. So you run a drill of the World Trade Center and the Pentagon being attacked on that day. I'm telling you, that's
and the Saudi and the Saudis could run that drill in America also then, right?
Right. Well, yeah, the point is that years ago, he would say that Zionists had their fingerprints all over 9/11. Yeah. Yeah. And he would say that AIPAC is highly influential and the Jewish lobbies are the worst and the most mafioso and stuff like that. He would call into Michael Collins Piper and talk, you know all this stuff and try to play it up like he knows about Jewish power. And then in recent years, he covers it up and switches and just says, oh, it's the Saudis that did it. And, you know, he claims to be the tip of the spear and like Mr. 9/11 truth. But for years, he's been ignoring and suppressing all the information showing the Zionist connections to 9/11. He hasn't been having any of the top 9/11 experts like Christopher Bolin and Ryan Dawson on the show to expose all this stuff. So, but by definition, he's gatekeeping the information, starting all the way back with Loose Change, the documentary with Dylan Avery and Jason Burmess that Alex Jones produced. Dylan Avery literally said that he omitted evidence pointing to Zionism in Israeli intelligence because it was anti-Semites that wanted him to put it in there. So from the very start, they were gatekeeping the Zionist role.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? And there's so much information, of course, around that in terms of the Port Authority who owned the building being sold to Silverstein, the dancing Israelis, and the company.
The cover-up.
Of course, the cover-up, too, and then the company behind some of the security. I forget what Bolin goes into that specific company. I forget their name now, but you know, it goes on and on and on. And Jones and InfoWars would save face if they simply just kind of laid out all these things on the table and had contradicting, I guess, ideas or people that have different views on what happened. But as you say, it's been this concerted effort to just keep those voices out altogether and not even allow them to come on and give their side of the story, you know?
And if you play this clip in a second, you'll realize the kind of threats that happen, visits by Mossad that would make him flip his stories. You know, we don't know exactly how he's compromised. It could be through Roger Stone and some kind of sexual blackmail. You know, he was buddies with Charlie Sheen. Also, Roger Stone also has connections with the Madam. He's being investigated for the D.C. Madam in the Mueller Russia investigation.
Mm-hmm, right.
So we don't know exactly what it is, but clearly he's compromised and has a huge blind side and a bias to suppressing and omitting the Israel and Jewish power from his narratives.
Definitely. And before we listen to this, also want to say also the thing with the transsexual pornography, and that's done. I mean, there was the screenshots are there. It's not fake folks. Mm-hmm. It's not fake news. It's not like a Soros plot to make him look bad. It's just what it is. And so he needs some answer. We need some answers there. Is he just personally enjoying this? Or is it, as you say, that he actually is compromised by this kind of knowledge? Someone has it over him. I guess now he would be out in the open. So if that was the case, now is the time for him to blow that cover then, I guess, or come out with that. But anyway, you know, we thought he was a Christian, right? And a family man and traditional values and a conservative and stuff like that. So it's kind of, it's not only hypocritical, but it's shocking and disgusting on top of it. So anyway, let's listen a little bit more here, folks.
And then I had this Mossad agent, who's one of the top guys in the country, whose cover is writing for a major magazine. And he gets there and I go, I know this is really a visit from the Mossad. He goes, well, I'm sure, but how'd you know that? I'm not really doing an article. I just want to see what you're planning to do to Israel. And I'm just like, I'm not against Israel. I'm not against anybody. I'm against World War III. And so.
You're against men.
And I have this conversation. I go, look, I know not just Israel was involved in 9/11. I know a bunch of countries were. I think it's wrong that false flags are carried out. And as long as he knew it wasn't personal, he just ran off.
Working with
You see, there, though, things slip out also here and there. Like that other interview he did with the David Ben something, that recent one that you also did a compilation from. There he just said that Israel was behind it again, right?
Yeah. So it proves that he knows it. So all these times that he says it's the Saudis and all these times that he hasn't had on top experts saying the Zionist connections, I mean, he just exposes himself. And what else are we supposed to think when he admits that he's visited by an undercover Mossad agent who's a journalist? And number one, why is he like not outing this person? It's a foreign spy in our media spreading Zionist disinformation and propaganda. And then, you know, when Jones clearly has been saying Saudi Arabia, it's like, how are we not supposed to think that this Mossad visit or other phone calls or meetings or compromise situations are got him to sell out like this?
It's true.
Right. And his big excuse, he goes, oh, I don't work for Israel. I've never even been to Israel.
Which you don't have to be to Israel to work for them. They have their intelligence. Clearly, if their agents are in America running around in the InfoWars studios, then clearly you don't have to be in Israel, right? Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know who he thinks he's fooling with that kind of argument.
Bizarre. I mean, he's so prolific in his amount of material too, that it's almost, it would take a lifetime just to comb through it and try to find the contradictions, which you partially have done, and you found quite a bit of it. Obviously, that's why your work is important, you know. Anyway, here's Corsi. Let's check this out.
The important cybersecurity company, and I just got text from top intelligence in Israel.
Oh, good.
Israel has nominated Donald Trump for the 2017 Peace Prize. The decision to move the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem and the fact that Donald Trump has had the courage of his convictions, again, another promise in the campaign, being fulfilled, taking, I think, an historic, maybe even biblical step to legitimate the state of Israel. And the way I read the Bible, the Bible basically says those who help Israel, God helps, and Donald Trump's on the right side here.
Well, certainly providence that he invoked during the inaugural speech is with our republic. And, of course, England began to help the Jews when they were being persecuted going back 1,000 years ago in Europe. And, of course, it's been known since then. That's why England had so much great providence.
Oh, that's what made them great. That's interesting. Nothing yeah, else. Not their ingenuity in mapping the world and science and, you know, all these things. It's just.
Yeah, you want to succeed in the world, just help Israel with whatever they want to do. That's the message from InfoWars and top Israeli intelligence.
Ouch.
So Jerome Corsi was hired to be the Washington bureau chief of InfoWars.
Mm-hmm, right.
And he was a longtime journalist at WorldNet Daily, which is ran by Joseph Farah, who says he's a proud Christian Zionist. And he actually won Journalist of the Year in 2003 for Zionist Organization of America, Journalist of the Year. So that's where Corsi comes from. And now, of course, he's working with Alex Jones, who all these years claimed he's not a Zionist. And Corsi writes all these books about preemptive attacks on Iran. And he's super tight with all the Zionists over there, visits Israel and stuff. He is also a member of the CMP, the Council on National Policy, which is like a right-wing Zionist think tank group with Joseph Farah and Nigel Farage is in there actually too. But Corsi, we actually, the GDL, the Goyim Defense League, raided his chat when he was doing a live stream, and we were bringing up, you know, a bunch of Zionist crimes, and his response to the USS Liberty, where Israel purposely attacked a U.S. ship, was that it happened a long time ago, guys. The USS Liberty was a long time ago.
Oops. Well, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. Again, it's this, you know, you build your case and they always try to make it seem, and we'll go through more of this as we go here, folks. But
hold on. One more thing on this idea that they're pushing, that if you help Israel, you know, you're cursed if you curse Israel and you help them. It's total Schofield Zionist disinformation.
Yeah, Schofield rewrote the Bible basically for the American evangelical crowd, and that's been a fanatical supporter of Israel, where they even to the detriment of their own people and their own nation, and that's why we got to talk about this.
And Jones had an article on Infowars.com from Michael Snyder, who is this guy that goes on these Christian Zionist televangelist shows and talks about rebuilding the temple and all this biblical prophecy, and the title was 10 Times God Punished America for something, screwing over Israel or something like that. I'm forgetting the exact title. But it's like, oh, we got a hurricane because we didn't do this for Israel. We got an earthquake because of this for Israel. Like, they're pushing hardcore Third Temple Christian Zionist end of days disinformation on the show.
Yeah.
In all these years of Jones denying being a Zionist, and now look who he's all buddy-buddy with now in all these Trump-supporting like alternative right-wing media. Like, Rebel Media out of Canada is known as the Canadian Breitbart, with Jewish Ezra Levant, who says it's a Zionist company. And then we got like Lauren Southern and Jack Posobiec coming out of there, Tommy Robinson, and all of these new
Cernovich,
all these young new Zionist right-wing kosher conservatives.
Even Candace Owens was at the moving of the U.S. embassy. It's like weird, and it was it was so interesting to bring up these names, because like, soon as they have been kind of launched in the alternative or as some kind of alternative, and many of these people get enough play in the mainstream to kind of get the recognition that they need to really get out there, right? And as soon as it's like come out that they're like, they steal works or they're kind of frauds or something's up with them, they like have been gone on InfoWars like immediately, right? And been like launched there as well. Same thing with Candace Owens. And so
Laura Loomer also, yeah.
It is, but,
and also
bizarre.
Like, look at Breitbart and Milo's buddy-buddy with Alex Jones, which is also suspicious given the Tranny Gate situation. But Breitbart was literally founded in Israel with Netanyahu. Jim Hoft was also there from the Gateway Pundit to come to America and be a pro-Israel Zionist Republican media organization. And all these people are propped up by Matt Drudge, who I believe is a homosexual Jewish Zionist, who used to work for Rupert Murdoch and Fox News, and now he's almost like the built-up, controlled opposition that got Trump elected. All these hardcore Zionists.
Yep. Let's continue to listen to Corsi here.
And also, of course, the Christian faith and Christ being number one. But that covenant has clearly been passed on, not just to all the Gentiles of the world through Christ, but particularly to England and the United States, historians, even people that are anti-Western, have marveled that the United States of America has a special providence, Dr. Corsi.
Yes, well, even while we're talking, I mean, Israel, I just got another text message. I said we were going to break the news on Alex Jones' InfoWars broadcast. They said one word. They said, great. I'm thrilled we're going to break the news on Alex Jones' InfoWars. And that comes directly from a source who's really above Mossad and the intelligence structure in Israel.
Yeah, so folks are really getting things raw here on air now.
this is coming in as we're talking.
Yeah, there's more of this, of course. But, you know, what's interesting with this, too, is, of course, this the evangelical, the Christian undertones here. And again, so we have Christians listen, and it's not an attack on people who are Christians or whatever. It's just we're trying to make people understand and see this kind of undertone of how geopolitics is being used, or religion, I should say, being used for geopolitical issues, right? The dominance of Israel in the Middle East, the promise of a greater Israel, you know, taking out all these other countries that's basically standing in the way for Israel, for them to take over this territory. And of course, America, I should say, through the Scofield Bible evangelicals have been kind of duped really into this scenario. But there's some people that are willingly go along with this, of course, because they want to see a return of Jesus. It doesn't matter that the scripture says that it's like, this is the Antichrist that is going to set up a system in Jerusalem, right? That's what the Bible says. They seem to be just like, I think you had a clip with Tom Horn. It was an interesting guy. He's been into a lot of metaphysical things, and you showed a clip with him on like the Jim Baker show or something like that. And he said that too. He recognized that it's like, of course, the Messiah that they want to put in place there, that's actually the Antichrist. So there's like a, I don't know why they're so excited about this when that's what the Bible says, Adam.
Yeah, it's almost like the Jews and the Christians are using each other, and they have a different idea of who which Messiah is going to rule in the end. So it's a really unholy alliance. And one more thing about the Corsi and Alex Jones video, the takeaway from that he's getting text messages from Corsi from above Israeli intelligence, above Mossad. I mean, all that tells me is that InfoWars, and they're thrilled that it's breaking on InfoWars. So
yeah.
The title of that one was Israeli intelligence deems Alex Jones kosher or something like that. So he's obviously, you know, one of their guys and getting the inside scoop. And of course, he really just blew his cover right there. It's just so funny.
Here's some more from that compilation, guys.
So you're saying Rothschilds are backing Trump versus the eugenics-based Rockefellers?
Exactly. If you kind of look at the people behind,
I got told that my CIA sources 3 years ago, they said, oh, you're bashing the Rothschilds. Watch what they're about to do. They're going to try to actually give wealth back to the people, not because they're even good. They don't want a total worldwide bloodbath.
It's just at this time, their interests coincide with our interests because, again, behind.
And now we actually have.
Okay, that's interesting. The Rothschild banker connection to Trump and stuff. And you brought up some of this, and I didn't know this, but he was over $1 billion in debt at one point, Trump, and was a. It was, I guess, not a Rothschild directly, but through a proxy that took care of those debts. Is that correct?
Oh, it was the top Rothschild banker. He was the director of the Rothschild bankruptcy division. And that was in the early 1990s. Trump was, the markets crashed a little bit and he was completely bankrupt. He had $4 billion in debt and $1 billion that he was personally liable for.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he was better alive than dead. And they basically they kept him alive and bailed him out. Wilbur Ross,
Rothschild, that's
right. Bank. Yeah. And now he's our commerce secretary. So, you know, that's a Rothschild banker is our commerce secretary. And Alex Jones is now spinning it that from his CIA source told him that the Rothschilds are good now and they want to make America rich. And of course, the Rothschilds were instrumental, huge in the founding of Israel and, you know, are behind much of the central banking and the ultimate conspiracy bad guys that Alex Jones always used to pretend to be against. And now he's spinning it that, oh, Netanyahu's good and the Zionists are good and we need to align with them and the Rothschilds are good. It's just a complete reversal.
Yeah, it's amazing the crimes that these people are behind looking the other way for these things. And we'll get deeper into this. But you know, there's a lot here with the Supreme Court building in Israel, kind of the promise of them being a leader, really, in world governance, right? Even their physical location is very interesting on the map. There's even the Belt and the agreement that's coming up?
Belt and Road Initiative or the New Silk Road.
Yeah, that's right. A huge economic project, and they're working together with Saudi Arabia. They have this whole, you know, the even
Russia, China are the big ones. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Anyway, before we get ahead of ourselves, let's continue listening here.
Parts of the Israel lobby turning against Hollywood and the leftist lobby and turning against all those crazy self-hating Jews and other people in Hollywood and in D.C. And there is a civil war really going on inside the Israel lobby to a great extent. And like the cavalry, here comes Netanyahu over here supporting what Trump's doing.
Division in the Israel lobby? I've never heard of such a thing. They're very united, actually, in their mission.
He's just spinning to make all of his MAGA followers love Israel. He panders the Jewish audience now, and he's just tied in with all these Zionists. No Trump, anybody anti-Trump or anti-Zionist is ever on the show. It's always just people that agree. And, I've got so many compilations and videos and playlists on my channel, No More News, Exposing Jones, with all these clips and just a whole bunch of deeper stuff. Yeah, there it is right at the top. And one of the next clips, it gets even crazier. He has this disinformation on who the Antichrist is going to be and who actually wants to destroy the Dome of the Rock.
Yeah, let's listen to that.
Inside the Israel lobby to a great extent. And like the cavalry, here comes Netanyahu over here supporting what Trump's doing. It's the Israel lobby, the conservative Israel lobby. There's more than one that is backing the tax cuts, backing the basic Trump agenda. All the bullying over the years, all the anti-Israel stuff, all of it is all part of a larger globalist UN Sorosian program. And the Vatican is heavily involved, and they want the UN to come in and take over that holy city. Talk about bringing in revelation. You know, maybe I just don't want revelation to come in that quick. I got a one-year-old daughter. I got three other children I love. Maybe I just don't like seeing it fulfilled to have the Babylon whore and the false prophet in control of Jerusalem.
Well, and there he says it, right? So he knows that, mm-hmm. that's like the game plan is to put this huge political leader, which is kind of basically the Antichrist if you follow the book of Revelations, right?
Mm-hmm. But he's saying it's going to come from the Vatican.
And the UN, they're going to fake that.
The truth is that it's the Zionist Jews and the Zionist Christians who are trying to make this happen. They're the ones that want to blow up the Dome of the Rock. They're the ones that are printing the temple coins with Trump on the cover and the Third Temple on the back. They're the ones that are clearly obsessed with it. And he's lying to his audience, complete disinfo, saying that it's the Vatican and the UN that are going to do this.
But he says also Sorosian there, right? Let's just talk about that quickly, that even Kushner, who is, of course, the little golden boy of the White House, actually has ties, business ties to George Soros. Why doesn't he talk about that then? I mean, this is a huge issue.
Jones and InfoWars are always, Soros is their number one big billionaire bad guy that they're allowed, villain that they talk about. But meanwhile, he's got all these business ties with the Kushners going back decades. He's got huge business ties with Trump. And Trump, at a rally, somebody asked him about Soros, and he literally said, "Oh, leave Soros alone. He's got plenty of problems." So, and I've heard Jones actually say before that Soros is actually just a front for the Rothschild. So it's, you know, he just changes. He tries to confuse his audience, gives them anything but the truth. And that's a great point about Soros and the connections are on both sides.
And of course, quickly, Owen Schroyer, who works with InfoWars, when he debated you or did not a yelling, it wasn't a yelling match, but it was not really a debate. It was just kind of bickering back and forth. But he claimed, you know, that, well, we evolve, the stories change, we learn new things. But many of these points just feels like a backtrack and you kind of have to do like mental gymnastics to be able to get these pieces to fit, which you previously kind of knew. If you would have laid the puzzle as you found piece by piece and kind of correct it as you go, I think some of those pieces that they're bringing back in are just like, they're defunct, that doesn't work anymore, that it doesn't hold up. So I don't buy his story there, actually.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's listen some more.
Maybe just at a deep level, I don't like the UN taking control of Israel, because that's the thing. That's who's going to take it over, and then they're going to start even bigger wars. You'll never satisfy the so-called Palestinians. The Arab countries won't take one of them. What does that tell you? Because everywhere you take them in, they try to overthrow you. It's what they do.
It's funny because it's like, wasn't that what the Jews did in many countries? They did nestle in and take over politics and banking and become very, very influential. And of course, this led to the fact that they were actually kicked out of more than 170, 192 countries. countries or something like that over a 200-year period.
Exactly. The fact that he says is, it's not even true, one, that the Palestinians aren't are allowed in as refugees anywhere. But Kushner just messed with their refugee status. He thinks that's how he's going to get them to come to the table. But while he's doing his big peace deals, the deal of the century in the Middle East. But yeah, Jones and the Palestinians, just switch out Palestinians for Jews there, and then, you know, you'd get the truth. So he's a complete inversion of the truth from Jones on that one.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep listening here a little bit. The UN thing is interesting, too, though. We just quickly mentioned that in terms of how, look at how Nikki Haley has been played. She, of course, has a writer, one who's pulling her strings effectively, which is heavily invested in Israel and the Jewish cause and stuff like that. He's, you know, and she's been doing these spectacles in the UN, right? The jumping ship from certain programs that they have running and stuff like that. And she has become the what was it, Cernovich said, the Queen Slayer or something like that, on some word he used. And I was like, I'm frankly, she's supposed to represent, you know, America in that sense, right? And the fact that she's so disgusting when it comes to this issue, I just can't stand her, to be honest.
Yeah, Israel has two ambassadors to the UN, and we don't have any.
There you go.
I just want to point this out. Look at that thumbnail that you had up. This is a thumbnail from an Alex Jones YouTube video. So he's talking about Arabs blowing up holy sites, and this is a thumbnail he had to another video. It's almost like a subliminal message, like he knows something about the Dome of the Rock being a target, when that wasn't related to anything going on in that video.
Yeah, that is very bizarre, actually, because this is a whole, you know, they're talking about that the Al-Aqsa Mosque is going to be destroyed, someone is going to do it, and of course that's when the opportunity, they would jump on the opportunity to rebuild the temple. So this is kind of one of their prophecies, right? They need to kind of insert this into the consciousness of people.
And Jones is already giving disinfo that the Arabs are going to do it, when it's that's their third most holiest site, when it's the Christians and the Jews that want
to
do it.
Right, exactly. Why would they do it to their own building? Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. They blow each other's holy sites up. So you let unfettered Islamic takeover happen in Jerusalem, guaranteed within 1 year, Dome of the Rock, all of it is going to get blown sky high. Because that's especially what the Wahhabists do.
So the Saudis are doing it then. Interesting. Okay. But of course, there's a lot of ties between the Saudis and Israel, too. They've developed much more Kush relationships in the wake of Mohammed bin Salman, the new young leader that basically overthrew the old guard in Saudi Arabia. Kushner and him, of course, have been dealing back and forth with some interesting stories talking about how Kushner was in the pocket of the Saudi prince. I don't know if this is disinfo to get people to deflect, but it is interesting that they have been doing back-end deals. Like two 30-year-olds are like screwing around with one of the hotbeds in the world, one of the most sensitive areas, if you will, and trying to redraw, you know, the whole area. It's amazing that these people get this much free hands to do this stuff. I think it was some of the story where the State Department, excuse me, had said that we don't know what Kushner is doing in the Middle East. He's not communicating at all. We don't know what he's trying to, like, what is he doing? And he could screw things up royally, you know?
Right, yeah. Kushner is in charge of all types of long-term projects. He's Trump's senior advisor. I think he's only like 36 or 37. And I just did a video recently, an hour and 40-minute live stream. It's called "Is Jared Kushner the Antichrist?" And I really just fly through a ton of information that people have been pointing out for probably like 1 to 2 years, making me think that they're going to claim he is the Jewish Messiah, the Moshiach that they've been waiting for, that's going to rule from the temple and fulfill the prophecy that Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, said they're going to have a federated union of continents, a world army, so there'll be no more wars, you know, and he's going to, the Supreme Court of mankind, and it makes me think the Rothschilds paid for and designed and built the Supreme Court in Israel that has the all-seeing eye pyramid in there, just like the one on our money.
Yep.
There you go.
There's some footage here. And of course, this is very interesting, Billy. I do really want to go like more into detail in this later on, but it is interesting that it was funded by Rothschilds. They brought in the architects that they wanted to do. There's a lot of, you know, classic like conspiracy symbolism in this building, like all seeing eyes. And there's even the courtrooms are built as tombs with this little passage for souls at above the door, which is a classic depiction, which they do, I think, within Judaism. This is actually further down in Israel. Eilat, I think it's called. It's a Masonic monument in a roundabout there. I do have some other footage from that too. But yeah, they have crystals in the floor above, like aligned with the eye in the pyramid. Here's a painting, of course, of the those who built it, the architects and those who financed the whole thing. So, and this is, of course, again, prophecy, as you said, Adam. This is actually, they're seeing this as the legal high court of mankind. This is going to be the central, look at that. There's a very interesting picture from above. This is going to be the center for like legal and I guess even moral matters of the world, right?
Yeah, it's like the pillars of the New World Order that everybody learned from Mr. New World Order, Alex Jones, or a lot of people learned from him, is the world government. It's going to be a world government, world religion, and one world currency. And that's essentially straight out of the Judeo-Christian Zionist interpretation of prophecy. And they're following it like a guidebook, and it's all self-fulfilling prophecy. The Rothschilds were asked, this is from the Temple Institute website, the group that wants to rebuild the temple. In the 1830s, top rabbis from the Sanhedrin sent a letter to the Rothschilds and asked them to please buy up the land of Jerusalem and buy up the Holy Land, and at the very minimum, buy up the Temple Mount so they can rebuild the temple. And Zionism really started back when the Second Temple was destroyed. They've been trying to rebuild the Third so that they can fulfill their prophecy in Isaiah to rule the world from Jerusalem. And it looks like that they're about to make this happen. They got Trump and Kushner moving the embassy, which they say is a major step to rebuilding the temple. The red heifer was just born. They're making Aliyah. It's the messianic tipping point. The majority of Jews in the world are now in Israel, so they can have new messianic, like Noahide laws. And they think Trump is the Cyrus that's helping them rebuild the temple. And other Christian Zionists, the Sanhedrin, think that Trump is just the forerunner to the Messiah, and that like a John the Baptist, and that somebody like, you know, next to his wing, I make the argument is Kushner, is going to actually be hailed as the Jewish Messiah, which is like a political leader that, rules Jerusalem and the world.
Yeah, that's right. Let's actually look at that. It was a video and a tweet, and you had that up on your site. I did take that down so we could look at that. It's about that commemorative coin with Cyrus and Trump at the same time. Let's look at that one.
And it was minted by the Institute for Knowledge of the Temple, and it has a picture of King Cyrus in the background, who was very influential in the rebuilding of the temple, the Second Temple. It has President Trump in the foreground. And on the back, it has a picture of the temple itself. We hope that the declarations of both Cyrus and Trump will lead to the rebuilding of the Third Temple.
When is the building?
Very soon. We've already started.
Yeah?
Yes.
And when it's due to be completed?
That depends on how fast the workers work and how quickly we can collect the money from the treasury.
$1 billion or $300,000?
For a minute, do you really consider the embassy move as just one step of building the temple?
It's a huge step. It's not just a step. It's a huge step because it is a step that is bringing together the biblical narrative, the narrative of Esav and Yaakov, the two brothers that were split thousands of years ago, are now being brought together again. And this is all part of the biblical narrative. We believe that this is a huge step to the recognition of Jerusalem, of Israel, and the rebuilding of our third temple.
How is it going to be conducted? On the same location where the Mount Sharif is?
There's only one place that it can be done in the whole world, and that is the place of the Temple Mount. That's why it's called the Temple Mount. And, of course, that's where it's going to be.
This is really interesting, you know, and what I find frustrating, too, Adam, is, of course, that this is, you're not only fighting as people's rational capabilities and logic when it's about these things. There is a lot of people out there that are, I mean, let's face it, they're super excited about this, because what this means, even that it means that it's the installment of an antichrist, which is going to, you know, like, you know, not maybe ruin the world, but going to rule in deception or whatever you want to say and cause war or whatever. It's at the end of that for them, it is the return of Christ according to these prophecies. So you have a lot of people that are super excited about this, and you can't really, like, we can try to prove to them, look, they're using America, they're selfish, they don't care about things like the USS Liberty, they're using America in whatever way they can to get them involved in wars, you know, they were largely the architects of 9/11, there's a lot of different partners involved in that, but largely the architects, the overarching force, and which of course have dragged America into a, what is it, 16-year-long war in Afghanistan now, and Iraq, and, you know, thousands and thousands of dead Americans. And of course, who's gaining from this? This is, you know, the conflict in Syria. This war involves driving, of course, all those refugees out of those areas into Europe and into America. There's this huge overarching plan here, which I feel is super difficult to communicate to those who are very fervent evangelical Christians, you know?
Well, it's difficult to people that are stubborn, but I've done a bunch of videos on the Third Temple and Trump in the Third Temple, and Trump with all the Rothschild and the APEC and the Adelson connections is Bankstas Paradise featuring Donald Trump. It's the top video on my channel. And, you know, I just wanted to mention with this temple coin, there's a YouTuber that does these biblical documentaries called Trey Smith. He's kind of got crazy hair and does a bunch of hand gestures, but he's big on YouTube. And he does these documentaries where he goes to Jerusalem and he shows the coins. He actually sells the coins. And he says, oh, Trump is Cyrus and, you know, the Messiah is coming and all this end times third temple stuff. InfoWars had him in studio and several interviews with him where they hype him up and they talk about this stuff. And Roger Stone told him, I'm a believer. I'm a believer in this.
Huh, interesting. I did not know that. I missed that one. So, okay, there's a little bit more here from the clip where we just said Kushner. We're kind of diving into the temple and stuff already. But we're weaving all this together as we go here, folks. But let's listen some more to Jones after actually Kushner. And this is an interesting clip here. It's not actually of Kushner speaking, but it's about Jones reacting to the fact that Kushner is speaking. He's been super secretive. Remember that, too. He has been really in the shadows. He's been what they call like the gray cardinal, right? The kingmaker. He's behind the throne. He's potentially pulling the strings on a lot of issues when it comes to Trump.
And now he's revealing himself. He's like right. He's being revealed and speaking. It was a huge thing all over the news that, oh, he speaks. And now the media is trying to make him out to be some of the media is trying to make him out to be a hero, and so is Alex Jones. This is pre-Alex Jones priming his audience to accept Kushner to be some powerful leader.
Kushner can speak. He actually talks. He says Trump's kept his promises. I want to play some of these historic clips, though, of Jared Kushner. He speaks. He actually spoke from there at the dedication of the embassy that opens today. I can show you some of those photos. Put them up on screen. They're on InfoWars.com, NewsWars.com. There's a good one there with Ivanka Trump. Embassy, United States of America, Jerusalem, Israel. Donald J. Trump, President. Michael J. Pence, Vice President. In fact, I hardly ever do this. I'm going to play Kushner twice. Wow, why hasn't Kushner been speaking? He looks pretty authoritative, looks strong. Got a nice gleam in the eye. Sounds nervous, but hey, man, get over it, bro. You come off strong.
And I remember this too, what Kushner said. He was talking about, you know, the legacy of Israel and how it's they always use these same terms, you know, like a light unto the nations, and it's this gift of Israel to the world. And, you know, Netanyahu always repeats these things, and it's like highly charged language which people are reacting to, like they're, you know, programmed by the religion, which backs some of these things up, of course. But it was interesting with Kushner, Adam, in terms of all these surrounding things on the back end, right? That he was the guy that got Trump elected, this unknown guy. He bought, of course, 666 Fifth Avenue for a shitload of money. He lost a lot of money just to get that as a symbolic gesture, right? And, you know, all these strange kind of ways that he's kind of been tied to like something which is much more sinister. You know, people have compared him to like the Omen character, the kid and stuff like that. There's something eerie about him. But when he did speak at the embassy, he seemed a little kind of meekish in a way, a little like weak. But there's a darker side to the guy.
Oh, absolutely. He's credited for winning Trump the election. They say he's a genius and charismatic, you know, behind closed doors. But one of the most interesting things is his connection to Chabad and Chabad Lubavitch. His family has donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to Chabad. He went and visited with Ivanka to the Rebbe Schneerson's gravesite shortly before the election. That was reported by Breitbart. You know, Chabad and the Rebbe, they're so obsessed with the return of the Moshiach. They sing, we want Moshiach now, we don't want to wait. Like, that's their theme song. There was even a Chabad Lubavitch rapper named Modest Yahoo who rapped about all this stuff, rebuilding the temple, ruling the world, getting the spoils and the riches. And also with the Rebbe, they always, they're always talking about the temple and the temple and the Moshiach, and this is where he comes from. Also, the Rebbe, there's a video of the Rebbe talking with Netanyahu in the early 90s when he was the ambassador. And then, of course, you know, the Netanyahu and Kushner connections, sleeping in Kushner's bed and being close friends with his family at an early age, and then being tied in with Trump and the Cyrus. And it just seems like they're trying to play out all this prophecy so that they can rule the world from Jerusalem, which it looks like it's shaping up with the new Silk Road. There's an article that people should check out called Israel and the Unexpected New World Order. And it talks about how the new Silk Road that Israel is orchestrating with China and Russia and a bunch of other countries is going to be like the new economy, and that America is kind of being left out of this, and like our dollar is going to collapse, and there's going to be a new world currency, which would be the mark of the beast, and which would be ran from Israel, because they're the best in, so they claim to be the best in cybersecurity, so they're going to run all the online transactions and then be the center of trade and the center of financial transactions in the world.
Yeah, that's right. You had a clip with Netanyahu talking about this at APAC. Of course, it's, you know, the cybersecurity is a huge thing. They're dominating many of these industries and businesses and stuff like that. And of course, people have to question. I know that this is for those who don't follow this line of thinking out there, watching and listening to this. You have to try to understand that, like, if it is to try to entertain the idea that it's a group that is solely out to look out for their own interests. If there are positive side effects to America, kind of like what Owen mentioned, but they're making America prosperous again, right? That what Trump is doing is bringing jobs back and stuff. And of course, sure, that's great. But if it's like a bigger agenda overarching that, which is like, which is not going to be beneficial to America or to anyone in the world at the end of the day, what is just a temporary taste of something greater if it's going to lead to doom at the end of the day, right? So people have to try to understand that it's like these are people that are organizing according to their own self-interest, and America is being used as a international police force, as their military, their strength and stuff like that.
Stealing our technology, our taxpayer-funded technology, and stealing our secrets. And yeah, Owen made that argument. He gave me the false dichotomy in a hypothetical. Like, America's either with the Zionists in Israel and the Rothschilds that want to make us rich, or with the Chi-Coms, the communist Chinese. And that's just a complete false choice, because Israel and China have all these trade deals, all these business deals, huge investments in technology and manufacturing going back and forth. So he's got it all wrong with that one.
This also seems with the Belt and Road Initiative that they're also bypassing America in a way, right? That they're trying to position themselves as the leader. Of course, as we said before, even just from a point of view of where they are geographically, they can reach, with the exception of America, but it's like they're in the center of the map, so to speak. They can reach Asia, Africa, Europe. They're right there in a pinnacle point, if you will, on the map. And of course, they're going to be, as they have tried to position themselves, a leader in cybersecurity, all these technologies. Netanyahu was talking about even self-driving cars, but all this like intelligence gathering type of
artificial
data,
intelligence,
AI, also, exactly, yeah. Very important, exactly. So
they want it to be a unipolar world order instead of America kind of being the unipolar. They want it to be a multipolar world order with kind of Israel behind the scenes of Russia and China, and that they'll be the new leaders in the world, the new superpower. And in America, like Ariel Sharon said, you know, they'll use this and we'll dry up and we'll blow away. And I think that's the plan.
Yeah, definitely. I made a whole video about what they were doing in Saudi Arabia. Israel was there too as a prominent partner in this, but it was this Future Initiative Conference. A lot of globalists, a lot of World Bank people and stuff like that there. Mohammed bin Salman, the guy we're talking about, the Saudi prince that did this kind of coup, he was there as kind of the host of the whole conference, and it was all about like building this new futuristic city called Neom. They were talking about artificial intelligence, cyborg, computer brain interfaces, all this new high-tech kind of stuff that they wanted to try to initiate. And this was going to be a partnership, of course, with not only a lot of other countries, but Israel also at the helm of this, which makes it so interesting. So they are reshaping the world in a new capacity, Adam. They're trying to position themselves as a leader. And of course, that's understandable. I mean, it's like any country who is not hating itself would reasonably want to be in a leading position there. But the fact is they're walking all over a lot of other countries doing that, and they're using America to get to that place, you know.
Netanyahu said that they're turning the world blue, and that pretty soon the people that want to boycott them, that they're going to boycott them instead. And they're all doing this. I got a video called Israel is a Tech Superpower, and also Who Really Runs the Internet, that gets into the ADL and how Netanyahu brags about Apple and Intel, and all these top tech companies all have their R&D divisions in Israel. And they're really just taking all of our information and selling it to our enemies and benefiting from it. And also, I kind of wonder, with some of these trade deals with Trump, if he's getting us out of trade deals, why he's cutting us out of the world stage, essentially, and that we're going to get left in the dust.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't know the full consequences of all these actions. And although I think you're right when you say that it's a false dichotomy, I don't want people to think that, you know, misrepresent and say, oh, so you rather want to have Hillary then? This is not what it's about. It's just about looking at what is happening right now, how it's being used, and of course that there should be other options which are far better than these two.
If anybody's thinking that I'm a Hillary supporter, just so you know, I followed InfoWars for years. I actually won the contest for making fun of Hillary on InfoWars. I won $1,000 from InfoWars. And I voted for Trump. I went and did Man on the Streets, you know, talking about WikiLeaks and Hillary and making Hillary supporters look dumb. And, you know, at that time, I wasn't fully aware of all of Trump's Zionist connections and troublesome people surrounding him. But still, I do believe if we're forced to do lesser of two evil, I do believe Trump, you know, to the best of my guess, was the lesser of two evil. But
right.
I'm not going to play into that. I'm going to expose that both sides are bad and not, you know, say, oh, Trump is the greatest and we got to go with him, and kind of suppress all the information that's bad just so he wins and we beat the Democrats.
Right. I mean, there's clear some things that he's done, which I like and I approve of them. I think it's great. He's at least had this rhetoric. But it to me, it feels like it could be one of these scenarios where they're forced to give America a little something back to be able to achieve the greater objective, the greater issue of Israel positioning itself as a global leader. All this stuff with the Third Temple, and of course, they're using the evangelicals in America. And, you know, you've done videos about this. A lot of these really excited televangelists and people are sitting and talking about him. Like, he's doing all these things and it's coming to fruition and he's bringing it in. We're going to
war for Israel. They're all happy. And then the other guy on the televangelist goes, yeah, the Sanhedrin, the top rabbis in Israel, have identified the Antichrist. They know who it is and he's about to be revealed and Trump is the forerunner. So it's going to be really wild if it turns out to be true and they really start climbing. Kushner won us the World Cup. He's going to do this deal of the century, the 666, Chabad Lubavitch. You know, he majored in government at Harvard, and he was the president of Friends of Chabad. And we got Alex Jones saying, putting out all this disinfo about who's really going to be the Antichrist in Jerusalem. And Kushner, he's saying Kushner's being groomed to be president. I mean, that's a tell right there. Alex Jones is tied in behind the scenes with all these Zionist groups. So that could be something he heard and he's just spilling the beans a little bit. I don't know. It could all be wrong. Kushner might be nothing, but that doesn't change the fact that these guys are obsessed with rebuilding this temple. They got to destroy the Dome of the Rock to put it on the Temple Mount. And they're not going to give up their plan for a world domination from Jerusalem until they get it.
No, and there's this kind of Freemasonic, kind of underlying tone to this as well. We've been talking about that for years. I've been really interested in that, the ties both between Judaism and Freemasonry, that it's kind of like there's a lot of rabbis way back in the day that were talking about how Freemasonry was basically kind of born out of Judaism, that it was a lot of the mythologies and the stories and the
Kabbalah and the rituals.
The Kabbalah, the builders, right? The whole thing about, I forget some of the names now of some of the characters in there, but, you know, there's a lot of signs and symbols that basically are tied in with Freemasonry, and that Freemasonry have been also pushed as this kind of undercurrent in society, dominant and influential men that go to the secret lodge and kind of in a way get indoctrinated or excited about this prospect of, you know, the temple and Jewish mythology and what it's all about and stuff like that. And so that's something which is very dangerous when there's like not an out in the open, clear agenda of what it is that the world is moving towards geopolitically, but there are secret societies that are involved in like recreating things from biblical mythology to try to bring about some kind of end time scenario. I think people should be worried about that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. The Freemasons are definitely tied in with this kind of stuff. I forgot. I wanted to mention one more thing on the New Silk Road is that the old Silk Road, the trading routes were dominated by Ashkenazis, and Yiddish is actually a language that formed out of this secret language that the Ashkenazi merchants would use to communicate, and it would kind of allow them to have sort of a monopoly on who could be the trader and the middleman between the different areas on the Silk Road.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to play a little bit. We have some footage here. It's the Freemasonic monument down in Israel, and this is towards the, I think it's the kind of toward the Gulf of the Persian Gulf is a city that's located in the very southern tip of Israel, and they have some other stuff in this town too. Like they have some IMAX pyramid. It kind of looks like Luxor a little bit.
It reminds me a little of Las Vegas. The Freemasonic symbolism in this town is pretty evident.
Yeah, there you go. He's even mentioned that, and he shows the same little roundabout. But this is kind of stuff you get, you know, a little undercurrents and stuff. And of course, all these Masons are super excited about this stuff, you know.
I believe there's a Masonic lodge right across the street from the Temple Institute, the group that's mostly influential in rebuilding the temple.
Interesting, interesting. So, of course, we've kind of already dived into this a little bit. We've attacked this from all the angles that we can, which mm-hmm. which is fine. We're going to take a break here in just a little bit. We've gone over the time a little bit. But obviously, what I want people to do out there that are either new to this kind of material or skeptical or just think we're nuts for talking about this or whatever the hell it might be, or that this is some weird, you know, just a conspiracy, nothing behind it. Give Adam's YouTube channel a chance. Go over there and check it out. Take a look at some of the videos. See if you can, you know, we can pique your interest in some of these topics, because it's really important. You know, some people might put, you know, think, Adam, that we put too much weight on an outlet like InfoWars and Alex Jones. What would you say to that? That somehow it's like, okay, well, it might happen to be, but he's not really that influential, or most people think mm-hmm. he's nutty or something like that. How would you respond to something like that?
Just think, out of all the people in alternative media, like you think of the mainstream and then the alternative, who else would be the controlled opposition that gets the most attacks and that makes the biggest fool of himself but Alex Jones? He's hugely influential. He was huge in getting Trump in. And the way that all the mainstream media like puts like him as the poster boy to kind of dismiss a lot of conspiracies, that's really telling. And, you know, Jones is the gatekeeper. He's the traitor amongst us. He's the wolf in sheep's clothing with everybody. So he's the guy we got to get rid of first, so for us to actually start getting some truth out and getting some real productivity happening.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And of course, again, I think it's super important to look at this from all the different angles that we can and see how this puzzle is laid and put together, and if they are a vital component in this, and if they are knowingly and actively excluding things because either it doesn't fit their narrative, or either it's because there's someone has a hold on Alex or the whole InfoWars operation. There is questions that people have had about the funding in the early days of the operation. Just the right sponsors kind of got in, and they told him not to talk about certain things and stuff like that. And I've heard a number of times talk about how, you know, he was approached by these people who wanted to sell buy him out and stuff like that to start using him. And that could have been what actually happened. Someone saw that this guy has potential. He has kind of a, you know, he's flamboyant. He's a kind of a circus around him to a certain extent. It's entertaining. So someone might have seen these talents, if you will, in Alex, and the fact that this would attract a lot of people. And so they've tried over the years in different ways to get to him, and maybe eventually they did, right? Maybe he was starting out honest, because as we said, he recognized the influence of the Israeli lobby. He even talked about the the Zionists.
But at the same time, to get credibility and to get popular, you have to throw a lot of truth out there. It's all about It's all about that, you know, 5 or 10% spin at the end that keeps people lost into a limited hangout.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. No, it's true.
Banks' Paradise down at the bottom left, featuring Donald Trump. Make sure to watch that one. Also, Who Runs the Internet? Israel as a tech superpower. The Kushner Antichrist video got an illegitimate copyright claim, so that's up on my BitChute channel. Google BitChute and No More News. And also the third temple prophecy with Trump. So one of my recent videos. If anybody thinks this is crazy or this is a conspiracy, all this stuff is documented overwhelmingly in mainstream media. None of this is being made up. And honestly, I don't even believe any of this stuff to be true, but they believe it. They believe it. So yeah, exactly. That's all that matters.
And that is what matters. You're absolutely right that there might be a, you know, there's this, they call it eschatology, that it's a kind of an esoteric version within Christianity, which is kind of focused on the end times, the doomsday, the Armageddon kind of stuff. And, you know, Trump could be, he might just be a vital player, a piece on the chessboard in them to kind of unlock in this. And, you know, we've spoken for years when we had other guests on that there's kind of a blueprint underlying this that they've been following all this time. And it's, you know, partially the Book of Revelations. And then there's some, you know, Kabbalah stuff and these kinds of things weaved into it as well. But it's really interesting, guys, you know, and I think a lot of people out there get it for sure. But if there's anyone who's like kind of upset that we're like, bitching on Trump or something like that, just check it out. Take a look at it. See what you think. Make up your own mind, as always, of course. I think there's a lot of interesting things here that people need to be aware of and watch out for and see the signs for. Because, again, if there's some kind of plan to bring about this Messiah, this Antichrist or whatever, we have to stop that. We have to work against that. That's just nuts. And these people will, of course, go to war. They want war at the end of the day. They will just, I mean, they don't care. The Greater Israel Project, Adam, that's really the pinnacle of this, right? It means that, you know, we have focused a lot on like pro-European topics and the migrant crisis and the fact that these globalists are flooding European.
That's part of the prophecy.
That is
too,
part of this.
I've
exactly.
seen rabbis yeah. say that's fulfilling biblical or their prophecy to have the West and European countries mixed with, you know, Africans and Arabs.
That's right. Exactly. They've talked about that. The rabbis want that. And of course, it benefits them to basically drain the whole area of people, empty it and get those nuisance Arabs out. Well, they put them in Europe instead, right? I mean, there's even articles out of how Israel has literally paid African migrants to like go to Sweden to like never return and stuff like that.
And that forces Jews back to Israel too. They fear they hype up the anti-Semitism and the clash of civilizations. So the Jews want to go back to Israel and also fulfill more end times prophecy.
Yeah, the Aliyah stuff, bringing as many of them back as possible. Exactly. Netanyahu was talking about. So as terrorism, as the powder keg is being lit in Europe and to a lesser extent in America, probably eventually, but more so now in Europe, as that powder keg is blowing up as we speak, and it's just mayhem and terrorism and ethnic conflict over resources and territory. Israel is getting everything they want in the Middle East, and they will be at some point able to expand into that greater Israel territory. It's an amazing story, folks. So definitely check it out. But yeah, Adam, we're just going to take a break here. But again, no more news. Check it out. YouTube channel, BitChute channel and stuff like that too. A lot of good videos there for you guys. Thank you for the first part, Adam. Let's just take a short break and then we'll return in part two for our members.